This is Winston the Homicidal Computer. And you're listening to Cinephobia Radio. It's the nail-biting conclusion of Jungle Gate. The shocking true story of the wild and wacky marketing behind Eli Roth's anti-SJW cannibal epic, The Green Inferno.
So getting back to the petition, given the fact that there were so many obviously weird, suspicious things potentially about it, I was really surprised, disheartened. Actually, in a way, I wasn't surprised because I've grown to have absolutely no faith in this as a culture of journalism. Absolutely. I don't think you have either.
No, yeah. No.
So I guess I wasn't surprised, but I was disheartened to see that none of the horror sites that I went to that were picking up the story even questioned the legitimacy of the petition. You know, the number one horror site obviously is bloody disgusting. They're far from the only ones who ran with this without questioning it, but they did. And the article was called, "Some Idiot is Petitioning for the Green Inferno to be Boycotted." And it was written by a bloke named Jonathan Barkin. And he goes on to say, "A few days ago, director Eli Roth spoke about his upcoming cannibal horror film, The Green Inferno, in an interview, explaining that the characters we'd be seeing on screen were caricatures of SJWs, those people online who find offense at every single little thing and seemingly don't find anything in life to enjoy. While cannibal films never really interested me, Roth's comments shot The Green Inferno to the top of my must-see list because those people irritate the hell out of me." And this is the common sentiment that you see basically with everyone who picked up this story and commented on a petition. He goes on to say, "As if on cue, and in a shockingly ironic move, a petition has been created by these SJWs to have the film boycotted, if not outright cancelled." So here's the thing, and here's the problem. If we accept the petition at face value, that it's a statement from Amazon Watch, they are legitimately equating Amazon Watch with slacktivists. Again, yeah, real activism with slacktivism. Adults with children. These are the kind of confused parallels that Eli has set up with his marketing campaign.
Yeah, they don't seem to understand that, like, Amazon Watch is a legitimate non-government organization, that it's not, a bunch of... You know, it's not a bunch of, you know, hipsters in skinny jeans, tweeting about stuff on their iPhones. These are people doing legitimate work in a very legitimate field.
And the other thing that bothers me is, first of all, not questioning its legitimacy when it's obviously, you know, even the fans in the comments are going, "Dude, it's obviously marketing hype." But yeah, they're not reaching out to Amazon for a statement to verify the legitimacy of the petition. Why not just make a phone call? Why not write an email? These guys are on the internet.
Yeah, and these are people who ostensibly want to call themselves journalists, and at every turn will try and, you know, convince people that they should be taken seriously as writers and journalists. And yet they seem to just want to uncritically reprint whatever's sort of put in front of them. And they're not showing any interest whatsoever into getting into this story behind the story and actually, I don't know, being a reporter.
Another thing that I saw in one instance after another. Now, Bloody Disgusting actually did go to the trouble of reprinting the content of the petition, but there's no commentary of substance about anything in the petition, the statement attributed to Amazon Watch. It was just all railing against the fact that somebody was calling for a boycott. So because nobody has addressed the substance of that statement, I'm going to read it now so that we can think on it and let it gestate for a minute.
Yes.
The statement says, films like this have always portrayed negative stereotypes against indigenous people as brute savages. These films have psychological effect as indigenous people have been through colonial trauma assimilating to white culture, being taught self-hate. Westerners are unfortunately ignorant about Amazonian indigenous cultures, and depicting them in such a violent story dehumanizes their peoples and couldn't be further from reality. Shame on you. As a storyteller, you hold a great responsibility to influence others. Propagating such hate towards peoples who have been ravaged and raped for decades by white supremacist culture is not constructive in our fight to save the Amazon. Most indigenous communities are more in tune with nature than you'll ever be and would never conceive of such violence for profit. It's a shame. We should be creating stories that accurately depict indigenous way of life, which is holistic, sustainable, spiritual, and harmonious with our earth and brothers and sisters. If you want to save the Amazon and stop China from buying leases to drill oil, make a story depicting the corporate shills for the murderers that they really are. You don't have to create racist, offensive, inaccurate crap to get people to care about the most biodiverse place on the earth. And if you really want to make a difference, give your money to organizations like ours, who are the people on the ground standing up for indigenous rights and making tangible change. Indigenous peoples are the key to preserving the Amazon. If we don't respect and empower them, we will lose the lungs of our planet. They should be honored and respected. Amazon Watch.
Those noted SJW slacktivists, Amazon Watch. And this really is where the incoherence starts to culminate, right? It all starts to come to a head. The entire nonsensical nature of this marketing campaign, right, is are they really going after a group like this who is making a very real difference, or are they going after hipsters, right? I mean, this is what it comes down to. They're trying to make these people the equivalent of those fucking asshole hipsters that nobody can stand.
If Eli's behind this petition as a marketing stunt, we don't know. I mean, all we know at this point is that nothing about this petition shows up anywhere on Amazon Watch, and none of the horror sites reporting on it have bothered to look into the source of it. Not just the horror sites, but bigger news organizations too. Breitbart, the super hardcore right-wing libertarian news site, picked up the story with the title, "Enough! Entire entertainment industry says no more to social justice warriors."
Now, I don't know when, you know, Eli Roth became the entire entertainment industry, you know, like that. I mean, it's hyperbole right off the bat, but yeah, it's
pretty. Well, they mention other comedians and stuff in context of that article. So they're just making a case that,
yeah,
you know, Hollywood's coming out to speak out against the SJWs. But interestingly, Eli Roth is becoming their poster boy.
Yes.
So talk about that article. Like, describe the article and who wrote the article and what your impressions of it were.
So right away, it's funny because as soon as this article sort of popped up on my radar, you know, I saw it was Breitbart, and I, you know, so obviously it's like, oh boy, Breitbart, okay, huge, you know, right-wing site. You kind of know what you're about to get into. And then you click on it and you see the byline. And the byline is extremely important because one of the authors is Milo Yiannopoulos. And I hope that I'm not, you know, butchering his name too badly. But he is a extremely well-known figure in the Gamergate community. He's a journalist for Breitbart who has largely used his position at Breitbart to amplify the Gamergate message. He's written all kinds of articles about Gamergate and about Gamergate issues and the whole anti-SJW movement and the entire sort of free speech absolutist movement, which all these things sort of get tied up into. So Milo is not just sort of some bystander. Milo is somebody who's actively trying to help create a media narrative of Gamergate being this popular movement for ethics and to fight against the oppressive scourge of the SJWs. And so he's attempting in a way to create these heroes for them, right? And to show that, yes, Hollywood supports us, you know, the creative industries are behind us, you know, they support our concepts of free speech, and they support the fact that we want to have subreddits called Gas the Kikes and, you know, all that stuff. And so it gets really crazy when you start observing it and understanding who is putting this message out and what their motives are.
He goes on to say, seemingly determined to prove Roth right, a Change.org petition has called on the director to cancel the launch of the Green Inferno on the grounds that it dehumanizes indigenous people. But the petition looks like damage control to prevent dehumanizing undignified SJWs. Again, another journalist not questioning the petition and castigating this group. And, you know, because it's convenient, because it supports their agenda that this would be a legitimate cry of outrage, and because it reveals the horrible nature of the SJWs.
Yeah, and Milo's involvement here, I mean, this was definitely another signal that, hold on a minute, things are not all what they seem here. You know, like, there's something hinky about this petition. There's something hinky about this whole story, because if Milo's involved, you just kind of know that there's something else going on. And when I saw this, I was pretty convinced at that point that, yep, I'm pretty sure that this petition was probably some kind of, you know, 8chan, you know, something cooked up in IRC, something cooked up in 8chan by these, you know, Gamergate and anti-SJW types, this sort of false flag operation they like to set up. As soon as I saw Milo pumping this story, I thought, man, here it is, you know, because he's the usual mouthpiece they sort of feed things to, and he brings them out into the larger media. So I thought for sure that's what we were looking at.
He does go on to make some interesting points that are worth discussing. He mentions a situation that happened on Twitter when a woman named Sui Park went on a rampage against Colbert because she believed Colbert was making racist jokes on Twitter. And what happened was, as a satirical response to something the Washington Redskins said, Colbert made a joke. He said, "I am willing to show the Asian community that I care by introducing the Ching Chong Ding Dong Foundation for Sensitivity to Orientals," or whatever, which is obviously is a funny joke, but they took it out of context. They put it on Twitter, and not, I guess, fully understanding the context, this young Asian American woman saw it as a racist joke, went on a rampage, did a cancel Colbert. She was all over the internet. Apparently everyone hates on her for doing this. And obviously, that was an hysterical response. And I think everyone who hates the SJWs, because it's just a popular sentiment in the culture at large, they hate that. They don't want to have people just flying off the handle, calling for censorship, calling for things to be shut down. And I don't support that either. I don't support the petition against the movie. I don't support cancelling Colbert for making a very pointed satirical view.
No, of course not.
But because I guess I'm over the age of 25 and my brain is developed, I can look at things from another point of view, and I can imagine the frustration that maybe a young Asian American woman might feel growing up in a culture where, for the most part, it was only fairly recently that Asians were starting to demonstrate a more kind of diverse depiction in American culture. Like, in the last, like, 5 years, I think.
Yeah, the progress has been, like, very recent, I think. And it's still it's still nowhere where it needs to be, right? I mean, the popular perception is still, you know, oh, you do karate and, you know, that kind of stuff, right? It's ridiculous.
Right.
Like, imagine living with that. Imagine growing up your whole life and it's chop socky, kung fu, chopsticks, me Chinese, you know, sideways vagina, like just imagine, you know, like that's your whole bloody life coming up.
Yeah, and you grow up with one depiction after another where, especially women, there's two stereotypes. There's the submissive sex slave. There's also then the dragon lady, the exotic temptress, and also the fact that she may have even been called Ching Chong Ding Dong growing up as a kid. You know, I remember when Dexter came out, there was so much talk about, like, the character of Musake as an Asian person having the particular attributes that he has. And he said in an interview going, you know, people aren't used to seeing Asians being like the way I am, being funny and being kind of perverted, you know, young Asian men like this. It's a kind of a leap forward in terms of depicting a more diverse face to that culture. So while it's preposterous and silly to call for Colbert to stop because of making a racist joke, you have to appreciate maybe some of the sentiment behind that, the sensitivity, because it's not unjustified.
Here's what happened to me. Last Wednesday, I saluted Washington Redskins owner Daniel Snyder for his new charity, the Washington Redskins Original Americans Foundation, which some have called an obvious attempt to win over Native Americans because it only uses the term Redskins once in its name. Anyway, I was so inspired by Dan Snyder's charitable outreach that I formed my own charity, the Ching Chong Ding Dong Foundation for Sensitivity to Orientals or whatever. That was Wednesday. Then, around 7 o'clock on Thursday, my network's promotional Twitter account, @ColbertReport, tweeted the name of my foundation without providing a video link to the original segment or mentioning that I was inspired by the Redskins charity. I mean, who would have thought a means of communication limited to 140 characters would ever create misunderstandings? Then, after that, when the twit hit the fan, the brain trust over at my network took the tweet down, because that's how the internet works. You can just take stuff down and no one will ever know it happened. Just ask Mayor Wiener. Now, I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus here, mostly because I don't go that close to public transportation. But when I saw the tweet with no context, I understood how people were offended. The same way I, as an Irish American, was offended after reading only one line of Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal. I mean, eat Irish babies, hashtag cancel Swift. Trend it. Now, all of this was started by a hashtag activist, or hashtivist, who has been viciously attacked on Twitter. And if anyone is doing that for me, I want you to stop right now. She's just speaking her mind, and that's what Twitter's for, as well as ruining the ending of every show I haven't seen yet. Now, to recap, a web editor I've never met posts a tweet in my name on an account I don't control, outrages a hashtag activist, and the news media gets 72 hours of content. The system worked.
And again, though, this goes back to that point of the fact that this is a child responding to an issue without really thinking things through, and the people hating on her, children, and, you know, adults can have these discussions and examine these things. And Eli isn't in that vein of where the adults are talking about it. He's in the children's vein. So what does he do with this Breitbart piece? He goes running to his Facebook page, posting it, blasting it out on the Green Inferno Facebook page, with the title, No More Social Justice Warriors. Read the article below and like if you agree that this needs to stop. He's effectively turning the social justice warriors into a political cause that people need to rally against. Effectively, what he's asking his supporters to do is engage in slacktivism, the very thing that he claims he's criticizing. The slacktivists, aka the activists who are out there in the Amazon trying to do something about the issue. I mean, this guy's politics are so fucking befuddled. In his desperate attempt to market a two-year-old movie, he's appealing to Gamergate, who begrudgingly accept him even though he's Jewish. Yeah, he's exactly. Amplifying neo-Nazis.
But that's the most disturbing part of this, you know, is that by amplifying Milo's work in that way and validating Milo's work in that way, they're validating his readership. They're validating the people who are reading his stuff and getting worked into a frenzy and who are, you know, tweeting this all over the place and who are going, yeah, fuck SJWs, you know, fuck those guys. And it's really like, it's really bizarre because it's like now we're getting into a territory where you are working to promote the people who are going to who actually want to do harm. And that's what's baffling to me, is how is Eli Roth using the marketing power of his name, of the name of his film, and all the esteem that he has built for himself, he's using all of that to sell movie tickets to bigots. And that should disturb anyone.
So given the fact that the horror press failed yet again to respond effectively to any kind of cultural relevance of the horror genre or do any real work as journalists, I did something what none of them seemingly did. I reached out to Amazon Watch to ask them about the petition. And I have to say, it wasn't exactly...
You did work, Stu.
I did a bit of work, you know, which is ironic being an ex-horror journalist.
Yeah, I thought you hung up the guns.
And I'll tell you, it wasn't exactly easy. I had to sort of write numerous emails, make numerous phone calls, make numerous tweets before I got any kind of response at all. The first thing I got was a statement on Twitter. And they said, Amazon Watch is not affiliated with this petition. We have not formally released any statement about the film. Now, of course, that's on Twitter, and something about the language actually suspected that Amazon Watch was somehow implicated in the petition, because they're saying, we haven't formally released any statement.
Yeah, it's not official.
Yeah, so they're not saying that isn't an Amazon Watch statement. They're saying it's not a formal Amazon Watch statement. So I'm thinking like two things at this point, or three things, whatever. Somewhere, somebody affiliated with Amazon Watch either made the petition and the group didn't want to have anything to do with it, or Eli has taken a statement they made to him and fed it to the marketing people, and they've ran with the petition.
Yeah. That we were thinking at one point that it was like Amazon Watch like contacted Eli Roth or the production office privately and said, you know, hey, here's how we feel about your movie. Or they sent him a letter, you know, outlining their concerns about the film, and that's where they got this verbiage from them, you know. And so it kind of thickened the plot, right? It's like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, sort of taking another turn.
Also, there was an update on the petition that was sort of modified a couple of times. Initially, it said, to clear up any confusion, this quotation and petition is not an official statement by Amazon Watch. This petition is created by individual activists to bring the social awareness of this film. Now, after I reached out to Amazon Watch and they made that statement, that update was modified slightly to include the phrase, although this quote does come from their comment regarding the film, it is not an official statement. Clearly, whoever is behind that petition is in contact with Amazon Watch. There's a dialogue.
They have some kind of connection.
There's a dialogue happening behind the scenes. So at this point, I think we can safely rule out that it's a Gamergate hoax, because they simply wouldn't have any kind of private conversations. We don't know who started the petition, but clearly Amazon Watch trying to negotiate disclaimers behind the scenes, whether it's with Eli's marketing or a rogue affiliate of the organization.
Right.
There was another update there that largely reprinted a huge section of an article from another website. The website is Native Max Magazine, an indigenous website. And it was promoted as an update with the title, Why We Should Boycott This Film. But if you click through, the title of the article wasn't that at all. It says, From Tiger Lily to Green Inferno, Why Indigenous Representation in the Media Matters. And it proceeds to take issue with Eli's ideas. So a couple of things here. First of all, that completely violates Eli's earlier assertion in this magazine article that the only people who will worry about the depiction of indigenous people are overly concerned North Americans who want to appear concerned.
Yeah, it's overly concerned actual indigenous people who are actually concerned about how they're going to be portrayed in the actual media. It's quite fascinating, really.
That article was written by a journalist named Johnny J. So I reached out, again, doing something none of the horror press even thought to do, and said, hey, can you give me some insight onto that petition? Do you know about it? Are you involved in it? What's the story? And I got an email back. She said, and it's a woman, she said, it could very well be a marketing ploy, as no one from the petition emailed or reached out to me, which is odd, considering the extensive use of my article. I am on the board of the non-profit Not Your Mascots, and we are currently working with Amazon Watch on this particular issue. And we have associates in Peru who are looking into the film production, as there are very strict laws regarding contact with indigenous people in certain areas, particularly the Cuga Pecori Nahua Nanti Reserve. I'm sure I massacred that, but I've never seen that written before. We're also looking into what pre and aftercare was provided for the village, since Eli Roth made it very clear that they made sure medical attention was available for their crew and actors, but no mention of what was provided for the village. It's awesome you mentioned Black Lives Matters, because in a recent promo for Green Inferno, they did mock Native Lives Matter and Indigenous Lives Matters. Two tags that natives are using to discuss police brutality, the violation of treaty rights, the murdered and missing indigenous women, the attack on the native school children in South Dakota, as well as the genocide and forced relocation of indigenous tribes in the Amazon.
It's unbelievable.
So we both thought that that was just a riff on Black Lives Matter, but they're real hashtags being used by indigenous people to discuss real life shit. Murder, genocide, forced relocation. Little more severe than people fucking with your video games. You know what I mean?
You don't like these TV shows. You don't like these movies. You don't like these video games. You don't like these comics. You don't like this music. You don't like any of this stuff. Then just leave. Just go away. Quit listening to it. Quit reading it. Quit playing it. Just put the shit down and shut the fuck up.
Right, right. And here he is putting their hashtags up and basically encouraging the kind of people who are the type to go on those hashtags and post a bunch of absolute shit, because that's their MO. That's what these people do. It's absolutely stunning that here we are having a marketing campaign that is openly putting out there these hashtags for people to subvert and abuse. It's amazing.
And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, Eli doesn't know these are real indigenous hashtags, because now he's not just lampooning slacktivists. It's gone worse than confusing slacktivists with activists. Now he's going right to the very people themselves who are affected by these issues.
Yeah, exactly. It's like cuts down another level deeper, where now it's not just activists. Now it's just indigenous people with Twitters. You know, who want to talk about their issues that he's going to go after now. You know, those are the people we really need to, you know, hold their feet to the fire and make sure they're held to account for all their crimes against society, let me tell you.
And the astonishing thing is, in all of this, Eli isn't trying to get us to empathize with the genocide, the murder, the missing children, the rape, the forced relocation, the exploitation of indigenous lands. He wants us to feel sorry for the fucking video gamers who didn't get to see Elijah Dushku's tits in Wrong Turn.
Exactly.
That's his big social cause that he wants people to hit like on his Facebook page over. The slacktivists.
Free speech for tits. Free speech for tits. Free speech for tits.
So we're here with Eli Roth, director of Green Inferno, which I'm director-producer of Green Inferno, correct?
Yes, and co-writer.
And co-writer. Very excited to see this. I'm curious, with all the experience you have in this genre, why did this particular strange, you know, forest world, remote, why did that speak to you?
I wanted to write a movie that, you know, was about modern activism, where I see a lot of people want to care and they want to help, but in general, I feel like people don't really want to inconvenience their own lives. And I saw a lot of people just reacting to things on social media. You see the social justice warriors, like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And they're just tweeting and retweeting. They're not actually doing anything. Or you see people that get involved in a cause that they don't really know a lot about, and they go crazy about it. So I wanted to make a movie about kids like that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of great things, obviously, about activism. People commit their lives to it. But I wanted to make a story about kids that don't really know what they're getting into, get in way over their heads, it actually works, and then on the way home, the irony is their plane crashes and the very people they saved think that they're invaders and just dart them and eat them and make them the food supply of the village.
So Green Inferno is your reaction to the SJWs of Twitter.
Yeah, my Green Inferno, I actually wrote it, and when I finished the draft, Coney 2012 happened. I was like, this is it. Like, everyone is going, what's wrong with you? They're drinking with their mugs, going like, "You don't you care about child soldiers and kids being raped? Like, how can you not tweet this video? This everyone got so self-righteous and tried, like, publicly shaming, and it was something that they hadn't heard of 24 hours ago. So I think it's a double-edged sword. You know, I think there are ways to get involved and ways to be helpful, but the SJW culture has gotten so out of control that you feel like everyone, are they doing it because they believe in it, or they just want to look like good people? You know, are people retweeting things because they think it's important, or because they want everybody to think that they're a caring person? So, and I'm not, you know, making a judgment about these people either way. I'm just making a comment on it. So I wanted...
Well, they do get eaten by cannibals.
They get eaten by cannibals, yeah, exactly.
But finally, on Wednesday, after waiting a couple of days, after they promised to get back to me, they did promise to get back to me on the Wednesday, but that was on Monday, so I had to wait for 2 days while they put together a statement. Again, making me realize there was a lot more behind the scenes than I realized. I finally get an email off Amazon Watch, and this is where the incredible confluence of chonosity that is
incredible.
Jungle Gate becomes really apparent.
I mean, before we go too much further, would you have expected this? Like, at the outset, was this even a possibility that you considered?
Well, it was that this email, I'll read the email, because it was really what we discovered after reading the email. That's what kind of blew our minds,
right?
But we're definitely getting closer to the heart of Jungle Gate.
The horror.
Hi, Stuart. Correct. Amazon Watch has not formally released a statement about this film. We are in the process of consulting with all our Indigenous partners. Once we have completed meeting with them and collecting their statements, Amazon Watch will release a formal comment. We are a small NGO that supports Indigenous rights and protects the Amazon rainforest. Empowering Indigenous peoples is the scientifically proven way to preserve the Amazon basin, which is so important to regulating the health of our global climate. Studies have shown that if we grant legal rights of ancestral territories back to Indigenous peoples, they will defend their land and thus preserve the Amazon basin. Honoring and respecting the rights of Indigenous peoples is of the utmost importance, as their voices are often marginalized and go unheard in modern society. As a human rights and environmental organization, our primary function is to accurately reflect the perspectives and opinions of our Indigenous partners. Therefore, it is imperative that we meet with our Indigenous partners before releasing a formal statement, let alone a petition. As you can imagine, most of our partners live in the rainforest, and sometimes it can take a while to communicate with them. So thank you for your patience. Well, first of all, don't they know? Indigenous people aren't going to care about this.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? It's only North Americans who want to appear concerned who are going to be concerned about this. And she goes on to say, that said, having worked with Indigenous peoples for nearly 20 years, Amazon Watch tends to have an accurate idea of Indigenous perspectives on numerous issues. From our research about Roth's film, we have gathered a general idea of what the film represents, and from what we know, our organization does not condone nor support this film. I believe the confusion with this Change.org petition, which is in no way associated with Amazon Watch, began on Instagram. Eli Roth commented erroneously that Amazon Watch had seen and did support his film. Amazon Watch responded to his statement because it was untrue and was causing confusion amongst our supporters. This thread occurred on at AmericanIndian1491's account, and I believe the creator of the petition is at Society Menace. Although for whatever reason, that person seems to have deleted that account and is now operating privately under at Society Menace 2. I'm unsure why the petition is anonymous, but I don't think it's a marketing scheme. I have requested multiple times that the creator remove mention of Amazon Watch, but they have yet to adjust the text. I have also contacted Change.org requesting the removal of the misattribution to our organization, as it is causing an overload of press inquiries, obviously not from the horror community, that are taxing on our capacity, as we are a small NGO with limited capacity. Hope that clarifies things. Let me know if you have any more questions. Thanks, Jessica. Okay, so now, what do we do with this information? We descend upon Instagram.
We ran. I mean, you know, virtually ran. Like
a cannibal descending on an SJW.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
But hang on a second. If the SJWs are the Indigenous people, then who are the cannibals? Are the cannibals the SJWs?
Are they eating themselves?
Oh, Eli's point is much more clever than we ever thought.
So metaphysical. It's so metaphysical. I'm very impressed. Very.
It's a theme within a theme within a theme.
It's like Inception.
It's conceptual. It's like Shia LaBeouf. It's brilliant. It's like get the anti-social justice warriors to turn them into slacktivists on your Facebook page. It's fucking genius. It's conceptual art.
And then we'll have the cannibals eat themselves, and because they're really the SJWs, because they don't want to be perceived badly. It's amazing. It's like a snake eating its own tail, just over and over and over again. It's beautiful.
So we go over to Instagram. We dig up at AmerIndian1491, who seems to be a hugely popular native person there with a massive following on Instagram. And he wrote this statement. He said, "Asshole of the Week is writer and director of this racist stereotype of the uncivilized savage Indian movie by Eli Roth. Summary. Bunch of white people are heading to the Amazon in their private jet to play white savior, when all of a sudden the plane goes crashing down in the middle of the Amazon rainforest. An unknown tribe then starts to hunt them down and begins to commit human cannibalism. All this movie will do is dehumanize people who are really ones being hunted down by oil companies. They are the ones being killed every day by oil companies and the government that backs them up. They are the organization trying to help protect the Amazon people from these evil corporations. They need all the help they can get. With a movie like this, people will take this as factual and truly believe Amazon Indians are savages and uncivilized, which can't be further from the truth." Again, this is the what we talked about before, this sort of colonial representation of local tribes as hopelessly barbaric to help fuel imperialist conquest.
We have to civilize them. We have to make them civilized people.
"Thousands of people go to the Amazon every year to meet these beautiful people, a people that still live with nature as one. They go there to get away from the so-called civilized world to get peace and clarity. Yet they are always discriminated against, dehumanized, and this movie won't help any of that. Thanks for being a douche, Eli Roth! And then he, like, hashtags like a million native groups who are reading this stuff and responding to this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And again, keep in mind, real native movements, right? Like real indigenous people, real involved native activists, not your tight jean wearing hipster slacktivist.
And incredibly, who shows up to put his foot in his mouth in classic Eli Roth fashion, none other than Eli himself.
Can't take criticism, not even on Instagram, not even from, and let's face it. I mean, we said this guy has a lot of followers and he does, but really, let's face it. It's a relatively obscure indigenous group. It's a relatively obscure indigenous activist. And here's Eli Roth, unable to take any sort of criticism whatsoever. He's got to jump in there.
Just so you're aware, we've shown the movie to Amazon Watch, and they loved that it's completely on the side of the villagers and points out everything you're saying. We're going to work with them through the entire promotion of the film to help moviegoers direct their energy and resources to the groups who are working to protect uncontacted tribes from oil companies. My film is a work of fiction, it's a parable. But that doesn't mean we can't use it as a platform to educate and help people understand where to get involved and how to help.
Yeah, which is like, that's a decent statement.
Sadly, none of it's true. A, as we know, Amazon Watch didn't see the movie. They don't support it. They fucking hate the movie. And two, go on what Eli's. He's not driving attention to these issues. He's retweeting angry 20-year-old video gamers who want to see tits.
You don't like these TV shows. You don't like these movies. You don't like these video games. You don't like these comics. You don't like this music. You don't like any of this stuff. Then just leave. Just go away. Quit listening to it. Quit reading it. Quit playing it. Just put the shit down and shut the fuck up.
But here's the important thing to keep in mind, Stu. This confrontation on Instagram happened about a month ago. It happened before the current SJW movie poster and this current anti-SJW marketing angle. So this kind of puts an even more interesting spin on things. And even more interesting, really, is what happens next, because Amerindian is so gracious. He's so like, I can't believe Eli Roth showed up and said something. And so he's just really gracious and apologetic. Like, I'm sorry I called you names, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. It's really stunning. So if you go ahead and just sort of.
Well, I'll jump ahead because there is a great back and forth between the two of them, but I don't want to read the whole thing. But they go back and forth. They're talking about, he's putting his view, basically amplifying and elaborating on the whole problem, and Eli Roth's jumping in. And I think what really won over Amerindian is when Eli Roth name dropped Amazon Watch and said, listen, you haven't seen the film. They've seen the film. They loved the film.
They support it.
And he's like, okay, well, wait a minute, maybe. And this is before the marketing too, like the poster and everything. So at this point, Amerindian's giving him the benefit of the doubt, going, okay, maybe there's something going on. There's more to your film than meets the eye. But he does take issue with this whole, the depiction of indigenous people as ruthless savages.
What the hell is that? No, I swear, that looks like a ritualistic punishment for adultery.
That's what it is. Just sit back and enjoy the show. Because afterwards, he's going to take us to the village. That punishment is considered a divine commandment. If he had not killed her, the tribe would have killed him.
So who shows up to the party? Amazon Watch themselves via their Instagram account. I love this. This is just so amazing.
This is the beauty of the internet now, right? Like, this is the beauty of the internet.
as a privileged white male gringo, you are doing exactly what you claim to be warning of by depicting indigenous people so offensively and inaccurately in this film. If you portrayed black people this way, would you consider that less offensive? Or how about Jewish people? The indigenous communities our NGO partners with in the Amazon would be offended and embarrassed if they saw how grossly inaccurate you've depicted their heritage.
Listen to those SJWs.
And then they go on to say that very quote that was then taken out of the context of this Instagram conversation and used as the main mission statement for that change.org petition.
So we finally see where this Amazon Watch statement originated from. And we see why they were reluctant to say it was a formal statement, right? That's why they were cagey about their language about it, because they knew they'd said it. It just, they didn't say it in any sort of official capacity. It was an Instagram comment.
They had nothing to do with the petition. So what happened was either, what looks to have happened is like a supporter of Amerindian,
yes,
the society menace, just following the conversation, because all sorts of people are chiming in here. This isn't just between Eli Amazon and Amerindian. There's all sorts of people commenting. Basically, poor Eli's being eaten alive by the savage cannibals exactly, that are the indigenous people who take issue with his film.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like, it's that whole thread is basically just indigenous people taking a round out of Eli Roth and calling him a puto. And like, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing to watch.
And the irony is, he thinks he's making a film that's a satire about people jumping into political issues they don't understand. And yet clearly, Eli Roth has jumped into a political issue he has no understanding of. So I only have one thing to say to Eli. Physician, heal thyself.
Let's play doctor.
How do you play that?
It's easy. I'll be the doctor and you be the patient. And you pretend like you're sick and I'll examine you, okay?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And what I love too is that how he comes back out and says, "Oh, don't worry, we're announcing a partnership with an Amazon rights group, not Amazon Watch, some other Amazon rights."
Well, I'll read the statement.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
Immediately after, then Amazon Watch said, "Our organization does not support this film. It is a gross offense to our indigenous partners." And Eli Roth comes back and says, "We are soon announcing a partnership with an Amazon rights group, but it is not Amazon Watch. I apologize. I was misinformed." Still waiting for that partnership. Have you heard anything about this partnership?
Not a peep.
We can all argue over social media, but the reality is, again, it's just a way of dismissing them. We can all argue over social media. Well, where else are you going to have this fucking argument with indigenous people, motherfucker? They weren't at the film festival. They don't work for the horror press who are reprinting your bullshit without critically evaluating it. Where the fuck do you think you're going to have this argument?
Yeah, it's not like these people have talk shows, you know? Something you can...
Yeah, they don't have it. Well, they do, but nobody watches those networks. There is an Aboriginal news network.
Well, that's very true, but I mean, he's not going out and trying to court conversation in those arenas. You know, he's provoking them. Even when he says he's not going to provoke them, he proceeds to then provoke them in the most asinine way possible. It's amazing.
Absolutely. So now we know that that poster wasn't just cluelessness, it was a direct fuck you. Not just to like the SJWs who were going to complain, but the very people themselves, the very indigenous people using these groups to discuss rape, murder, the absolute dehumanization of their culture, the things that when they see reflected in his film, these gross like media representations that further perpetuate their sort of lack of prominence in a culture and diminish their voice. They're taking issue with that. And he's saying, yeah, well, fuck you. Here's more of it. Because guess what? You're going to attack me on Instagram? You're going to rip me to pieces on Instagram? Well, guess what? I can summon a force, a wrath, far greater than you guys. Yeah. And that's what sent him running to the 4chan Gamergate world to bring that level of reactionary vitriol to drown out any squeaks of protest. This is like him taking that anti-homophobia rant in Fangoria to a whole high marketing conceptual level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to imagine it, I mean, here's Roth up on his sort of podium, you know, ranting about, you know, political correctness and all this other stuff. And the 4chan, 8chan, Gamergate, anti-SJW crew are like the guys in the jackboots, you know, kind of all lined up around the base of the podium waiting for the troublemakers to start up and they'll descend upon them, you know. That's how these guys operate.
In jeder Stunde, an jedem Tag, nur zu denken an Deutschland, an Volk und an Reich, an unsere deutsche Nation. Und der deutsche Volk sieg heil! 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 Sieg heil!
So let me finish his statement. He goes on to say, so we can argue over social media, but the reality is the film will be in release, and I am going to use the release platform to raise awareness for all these issues. So hear this, Breitbart. Hear this, Gamergate. Hear this, Cyber Troopers. He's not your poster boy. He's not making a film to go after the bloody social justice warriors. He's secretly doing it to go after the oil companies and all the he's doing it to support indigenous rights issues. That's supposedly what he's saying here, his agenda. But as we all know, he just twists with the wind. Put him in a room full of indigenous people, he's against the oil companies. We said that as a joke before, but actually
here it
that's
is.
Exactly what he did.
Here it is, right?
He'll just sell his crap to anybody.
It's absolutely amazing that here he is saying, hey, listen, you know, this movie supports this, and I want to use the message of this film to help elevate your voices. And then a scant month later, start marketing to the very people who want to ensure these voices never get heard. I mean,
it's so mind-bendingly fucked. I got to finish his statement. It's hard to get through without just going like, holy fuck, but let's try to get through his words. So he says, I don't expect everyone to support it, but right now everyone is judging from a trailer and a poster, which I understand. I'm not going to antagonize anyone. I'll just put your hashtags on my poster as a big fuck you. I won't antagonize anyone. To create some controversy for the film, because that doesn't address what's really happening. What's really happening, Eli? You want to tell us? Slacktivists, right? The ones going to the Amazon? Political correctness? Lack of tits? Is that what's really happening? Nearly the entire crew and cast were Peruvian and Chilean, and everyone believes in the film's message. Really? Everyone believes in the film's message? The film doesn't have a fucking message. That's what we've really gotten to the heart of. We haven't even seen the film, and we can tell you're so confused, you're all over the place, you're contradicting yourself in the concept of the film, and everything you've said about the film, and every way you've tried to market this film has been hypocritical, contradictory, and fucking clueless, dude. Absolutely fucking clueless.
I mean, it's really depressing, but the message of the movie seems to be whatever he needs the message of the movie to be in order to, you know, sort of dodge criticism, right? So, you know, if it's natives coming at him, it's no, I support you guys. And if it's the free speech crowd coming at him saying, hey, how come you're giving in to those natives? It's like, nah, I don't want that. I don't like those natives. I hate those selectivists. You know, it's whatever he needs to be at the time.
He'll be president of the United States. You realize that. Like, this is a guy who was like banging around film festivals a few years ago with Cabin Fever. I know people who hung out with him, and I heard a lot of stories about him through those networks. But he went very quickly from Cabin Fever to just a hop, skip, and a jump, a big, massive blockbuster horror movie with Hostel. And then a hop, skip, and a jump, and he's on screen in a Quentin Tarantino film with Brad Pitt. And when they promoted the movie at Cannes, they had this gigantic like poster with Brad Pitt's face on one side of a building. And on the other side, it was Eli Roth.
Yeah, so he was huge.
What's going on? He's just like gone from like a dude to this gigantic, like, pop culture figure overnight. I'm telling you, he's going to be president.
President of Horror Nation, maybe.
Well, he was already president of Horror Nation, self-appointed right after Hostel went big.
Oh,
he became the spokesperson for the genre.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Eli. I think, to me, that he's the director that horror films have been waiting to come out, because it's like, you know, it's not about getting on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, it's about getting on the cover of Fangoria. All right, it's not about like, okay, I'm going to do horror for a while, then I'm going to ditch it and do other stuff. It's about horror films.
Sorry, let me do finish the statement. It's almost impossible to get through. It's so infuriating. You know, to even read it was driving me nuts when I first read it, let alone try to read it for people.
You just keep sighing over and over again. You read a sentence and you just have to sigh and like then rant and get all the hate out of you and then like read the next one. It's awful.
So whatever you may think about me personally, it's fine. Just know that I am as upset and horrified by what's going on. And simply how he's upset and horrified, guys. He's a fucking SJW.
Exactly.
Do you realize that
Gamergate?
What a bleeding heart liberal you've made into your poster boy. And he's Jewish. Just know that I am as upset and horrified by what's going on and simply have a different way of getting the message out to a younger generation who may not be aware of the indigenous rights problems in the Amazon. It's fucking unbelievable, man. This is Junglegate. When he decided to do a hashtag Junglegate, what was he expecting people were going to do with that? It's nothing. Junglegate. There's no jungle. This is the Junglegate. The phony petition. The bullshit. The conversation on Instagram with native people. The spite that informed your marketing after this happened. The big, giant fuck you to the native people that tore you to shreds in this fucking exchange. Horror films historically have always done this. You might not like it. And that's fine. But if we want to have a productive discussion that can educate the general public, I'm all for it. Bickering on social media is not the best approach for any of this to really reach people. No, you know what is the best approach? Ignore those people fucking entirely. Sell your bullshit to a pathetic horror press who don't question the sources, don't take into account the point of view of the people who are actually being fucking marginalized and discriminated against potentially with your representation. All right, just shut them out of the fucking way. Then we can have a nice discussion where it's your idiotic lemming-like cyber trooper fucking slacktivists hitting like on your anti-SJW campaigns. That's the discussion you want, Eli. I don't see anything outside of those very narrow parameters. Nothing is being channeled into your world other than that agenda that we have deconstructed and analyzed. Please prove us wrong. Show us some tangible sensibility on your part, that you have an instinct and a sensitivity and a compassion for these people, like you said in that statement, because they all fucking hate you.
Yeah, he says he wants to have this productive discussion, and then less than a month later, he's directly antagonizing those people.
Mocking them, ridiculing them. And like I said, I thought it was clueless, but it's so vindictive.
Yeah, and amplifying real bigots. You know, it's stunning.
Yeah, it's crazy. So right off the bat, he's going to bring back the cannibal movie. He knows people are going to kind of have a problem with the political incorrectness of it, so he'll demonize those people in the film. Then it gets kind of out of hand. Now native groups themselves are ripping him to pieces. So what is he going to do? Demonize them. Make a mockery out of their causes. Make a mockery out of their hashtags that they're using to discuss issues that are relevant to the subjugation of their people. And then go on their fucking Instagram and pretend he's like on their side and he's all concerned, he's all sensitive. You know what? I gotta go and get my notes because I was so angry I fucking threw them down the hallway. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no worries.
Sorry about that. I really did do that. It is so infuriating.
It's fucking ridiculous.
I didn't expect to get this irritated reading this stuff, but it's just like, man, I'm just so sick of the bullshit. I'm sick of the whole failure of the culture to even respond to it with a shred of like critical fucking thought.
And again, where is the environmental education? Where is this like, hey, I acknowledge you're facing these issues. Why is he not amplifying the voices of these natives? I mean, could he not? Like, is it not possible for him to release this like very exploitive cannibal film that obviously, I mean, you can't make a cannibal film and not depict indigenous people in a poor light, right? But there's no reason.
Well, hang on a sec. You know, I don't know a lot about cannibalism in North America, in South American indigenous tribes. I do believe it existed, and there were two forms that I have read about. One is endocannibalism, which is an interesting practice of eating the dead as a way of honoring the dead.
Imagine that.
Like, imagine if we practiced that in this culture. Your grandmother is like, oh my God, we got to eat Aunt Mabel today. Like, my God. You know, and then there'd be like people in your family like, don't worry, I know just the right like spices to put on Aunt Mabel.
Should be like veal.
But apparently in endocannibalism, and this isn't just South American tribes, this has happened in different cultures over the globe. It's just a different conception of how to honor the dead. They eat everything, every part of the body.
Oh, that's intense.
The bones, the feces. So I don't really know too much about it, so I'm not pretending to be an expert about it. There's another form of cannibalism, which is a retribution-style cannibalism, which is a way of punishing people who've transgressed, and maybe that's what Eli's channeling. Yeah. I have heard him say that everything depicted in the film, as far as the cannibalism, was based on some sort of tribal act that he'd read about. So, again, in all of this, we do have to, you know, really make a firm point that we haven't seen the film. Like, even if the film is fantastic and actually does reveal a progressive view, which the Breitbart guys won't like, you know, no matter at this point, no matter which way Eli's going to go, he's either going to piss off the Breitbart guys and the people in support of his anti-SJW stance with the film if it comes out, or he's going to piss off the native people who feel like it's a terrible depiction of their culture and also doesn't really address the social issues. Or maybe his film's trying to play favorites with everybody, because that's the mixed messages I'm getting. I think what it illustrates is a guy who never really conceptually thought this stuff through and has been like painted himself into a corner and has been just flailing brutally ever since.
Well, you know, I think in 2015, if you're setting out to make like an exploitation cannibal film, you're trying to do something that's an homage to, you know, Cannibal Holocaust and these very extreme pieces of cinema, you know, you probably have to balance that out a bit. The film will be extreme and antagonistic itself. So does the marketing need to be extreme and antagonistic? Or could the marketing actually be something that is educational and progressive and something that says, hey, this film is a work of fantasy and it's an homage to films that were made during a time where we had, frankly, you know, some less evolved ideas about these sorts of things.
Well, you're saying that, but actually if you think back now, Cannibal Holocaust is looking infinitely more progressive than how Green Inferno is shaping up. Right? The monsters, the true monsters in Cannibal Holocaust are Twitterers. You know, people like whinging on Twitter like they are supposedly in Eli's film. The true monsters is Western culture. Is
absolutely
Western imperialist domination of the region. You know what I mean? That's the hideous force that is dealt with. And there is a cannibal retribution act.
Absolutely.
When the cannibals rip those white guys to shreds, you never feel like, oh, the cannibals are horrible. They did something wrong. You feel like you're on the side of them. You're like, yeah, rip those guys to shreds, man. They just ripped apart a turtle for sport. You know, let's put these guys out of their misery.
I'm not speaking as a scientist, but as the man in the street. This so-called documentary footage is offensive, it is dishonest, and above all, it is inhuman.
Yes, yes, of course. We all know what Alan was like. He overdid it as usual, but what you saw is a rough cut.
Perhaps I haven't made myself clear, but I I refuse to have anything to do with this material.
Look, Professor, we are talking about the most sensational documentary to come along in years. And you want us just to shelve it, to forget about it, as if it had never been found? Is that what you want?
Yes. Yes. That is precisely what I want. I've seen the rest of the material. You haven't. You haven't seen the stuff that even your editors didn't have the stomach to put together. And if you had, you wouldn't hesitate but to agree with me.
So finally, if anybody has any thoughts on what we're talking about and would like to write in, please send an email to info@cinephobiaradio.com. If we get enough interesting comments, perhaps we'll do a follow-up and read some of them. Are you up for that, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be very interested in that. I mean, you know, again, if we manage to gather enough interest, I hope there's enough interest out there because these are important issues, but it's hard to tell.
I think we should also, even though I said I wasn't interested in the film, I think in all fairness, we should actually see the film and see if there's anything that redeems how Eli has been marketing the film. You know, and if he feels like he's been unfairly treated with our criticisms of the marketing. So hopefully it does generate some discussion and we can all sort of learn a thing or two.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the idea, right? And the fact that basically a couple of like nobody ex-horror journalists are the people who are picking up this thread, as opposed to, you know, the big, much larger media apparatus that people like Eli Roth are capable of commanding, is pretty disappointing. And that's why it's also important to ask people to share this around and to create this dialogue, because we are trying to amplify these voices, and we are trying to help this part of the message get out as well, because this isn't about political correctness. This is about Indigenous people, and this is about how they feel about their portrayal, and their voices should be heard. And I'm against Eli Roth campaigning to stop these people from being heard and supporting people who are going to work to stop these people from being heard. I think that's important, and hopefully listeners out there find that important as well.
And the other thing, horror journalists, I have to say that doing a little thing like reaching out to an organization, getting some information that nobody's bothered to look into, and then going down a couple of little weird rabbit holes and unearthing what we unearthed, this incredible conversation on Instagram that nobody knows about, nobody's discussing. Yeah. That's kind of like the rewards of doing journalism, right? So if you want to do this journalism, it's not about just coming up with some crappy byline on a website that you can start blasting all over Twitter and saying, look at me, I got my name on a website, look at me, I'm reprinting a press release, look at me. You know, it's not about that. That's not the reward. That is a vacuous, unsatisfying,
masturbatory,
pointless exercise. If you're going to be a horror journalist, it's not about getting free tickets to movies. It's not about getting free swag. It's not about like bragging to your friends or going to parties or hobnobbing with celebrities. It's about being a fucking journalist. Be critical, evaluate these things. But however you do it, just do the fucking job. Just do the job.
Exactly. It's not difficult stuff. This is really, really basic, you know? Group makes claim, journalist fact checks claim.
Journalism 101, that's all we have to say about it, folks.
It's that simple. And instead of just, oh my God, Eli Roth says this, we what we actually see is this wild, weird story, you know, that takes us all these weird, interesting places on the internet and ends us up right here.
So for more information, go to the website at www.cinephobia.xxx. The triple X is for poison, not porn. So until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.